Good morning, it is Friday, June 15th, 2018, the last day of the week. And Vladimir Putin had a better night than Mohammed bin Salman. And we wish Saudi Arabia were as shit at bombing Yemeni civilians as they are at their football. And even though Robbie Williams' singing was nothing that great, the middle finger on the screen was quintessentially his. Like terrorism in Kashmir and Hindutva right-wing militancy is quintessentially made in India. More on that in today's edition of The Auditorium. Every soul shall have a taste of death, then to us you will be ultimately returned. On the day India rejected a UN report that accused it of having used excessive force in disputed Kashmir to kill and wound civilians since 2016, and which called for an international inquiry into accusations of rights violations, one Kashmiri was abducted and killed for killing another Kashmiri. Another Kashmiri was killed by more Kashmiris for reporting Kashmir. The Kashmiris who were protecting that Kashmiri were killed for doing their job. Too many Kashmiri lives in a day, just before the Muslim holy month of Ramzan draws to an end. Veteran journalist and editor of local newspaper Rising Kashmir, Shujat Bukhari, and his two personal security officers were gunned down by unidentified gunmen right outside his office in Srinagar as soon as he boarded his vehicle after stepping out of the office of Rising Kashmir, heading for an iftar after having fasted the entire day. For those who don't know, Mr. Bukhari was the Sena voice of Kashmir who had advocated peace and took on separatists as well as Indian right-wingers. And all through his life, right up till his death, and even after that, he was attacked by BJP and the right-wing journalists as being a jihadi sympathizer, a Pakistani stooge. That he was part of Track 2 diplomacy and pursued the cause of peace did not come up in the history that some rabid columnists conjured up. Up until his last moment, he had to defend himself and his professionalism against vile attacks by extremely biased servitudes of people like Anand Ranganathan, who claimed himself to be a columnist, and others of the WhatsApp University of right-wing manufacturing like Madhukeshwar. Police have released images of the alleged shooters, but who was really behind the actual killing is still unclear and probably will remain so given the murkier state of affairs in Kashmir. Well, that wasn't the only death. The body of army man Aurangzeb, who was abducted by the terrorists from Pulwama district earlier that day, was also found. He was abducted while proceeding on leave for Eid celebrations at his home in Jammu region. And from terrorists from disputed land, let us move to undisputable militants from mainland India. After being held captive for over 1.5 years by her family for dating a Muslim man, Thrissur native Anjali Prakash finally has hopes of getting some justice. The Chavakkar District Magistrate Court has directed the Guruvayur police to file a case based on her complaint. Anjali's complaint mentions her mother, her maternal kin and a few VHP and RSS workers as those responsible for her abduction and brutal torture. For 45 days, the doctor administered heavy drugs into her, which led Anjali to lose her ability to walk freely. But that was just the mildest of torture that she had to go through for 1.5 years. Anjali has further alleged that she was shifted to several places, mostly BJP workers' houses. She was moved to Kallur in Kollam, then Thrissur, and finally to Mangaluru, where she was put in houses owned by VHP persons. Now, would you not call this terror? Well, so it wasn't a shock to many, except to the organizations or the arms of the RSS, that is the VHP, Vishwa Hindu Parishad, and the Bajrang Dal, that the two militant Hindutva organizations have been named as militant religious outfits under the tag Political Pressure Groups and Leaders by CIA's World Fact Book. And from militant organization, we move to autocratic organization perpetuating soft terror of the state. That is Aadhaar. Nearly 5,000 Aadhaar cards along with their dispatch envelopes and rupees 5 postal stamps were found in a scrap dealer's shop in Jaipur on Thursday. The original Aadhaar cards belonging to residents of Jalupura reached the shop in a sack of old newspapers sold to scrap dealer. The cards actually belong to the area residents who have been waiting for them for months. Call it exclusion by the state? It does raise questions about the government's claims that Security of Aadhaar cards and their delivery system is impeccable. But Shri Shri Ravi Shankar Prasad is still adamant and illegally pushing it down the nation's throat. Well, not all identification comes from your biometrics. In some places, like Modi ji's Gujarat, a Mojri can also help in ascertaining a person's caste. A 13-year-old Dalit boy was allegedly beaten up by four Rajput men for wearing a Mojri, a type of ethnic leather shoe. While beating him, two of the accused can be heard in the video doing the round on social media saying that one cannot become a Rajput by donning such a footwear. The person who was shooting the video can be heard saying that he will send this video to the miner's place of residence called Vitthalpur, apparently to give a message to others. While begging for mercy, the victim can be heard saying that he is a Dalit and will never try to be a Rajput. All of that is the definition of Rajput, that no human would like to be one. And let's move on to international news. A day after Austrian Chancellor Sebastian Kurz called on an axis of the willing to tackle the EU's migration impasse, Angela Merkel has come under intense pressure to tighten Germany's refugee policies or risk the collapse of her own coalition government as an increasingly urgent argument over how to handle irregular migration rattles Europe. While the standoff between the Chancellor and her Interior Minister, Horst Seehofer, continued on Thursday, the French President Emmanuel Macron and Italy's new Prime Minister, Mr. Conte, said they would discuss new initiatives on immigration this week in Paris. And let us not keep you waiting for the weekend anymore. An event that took place on 15 June 1992 will cause Egypt to play in the World Cup exactly 26 years later. After the drubbing the Saudi Arabia got and the goal tally that Russia raked up, we are all set for football to take over the weekend. Who knows what the results will be today? Can Portugal beat Spain and make Jose Mourinho turn into Paul the Octopus? Will Uruguay keep its form intact or Egypt spring a surprise? And can Morocco get the better of Iran, who have been booted by Nike, as in they've been refused boots by Nike? And as for what was the event of 15 June 1992 that made this day possible for Egypt? Well, it is, of course, the birthday of Mohammed bin Salah. And we will have to wait and watch what present he's going to get. That is all from us for this week. We will be back with hopefully a more glorious, less bigoted and a more positive week. Wishing you a happy Eid in advance. Thank you for listening. Goodbye from TakeApart.in.